Hey y'all, I'm Dan, and I host a podcast called Kinfolk, Stories of Community and Connection. I talk with folks from all over Appalachia, artists, small business owners, local legends, you name it. We share real stories about what brings us together, what keeps us going, and all the magic tucked away in these hills. If you're into small town charm, big hearts, and good conversation, come hang out with me on Kinfolk. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Mountain State Mysteries contains mature themes and discussions that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. All individuals mentioned in this episode are considered innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Hey y'all, I'm your host Mark Covey, and this is Mountain State Mysteries. For 32 years, this case has haunted a small West Virginia town. Unanswered questions, lingering pain, and stories that never quite added up. We've told it before, but this time we're bringing you something new. Straight from someone who's carried the weight of this mystery for over three decades. This is the case of Angela Therese Gwynn Stevens. October 1st, 1993 started out like any day for Therese. She dropped her husband Norman off at work at the UPS facility on Industrial Drive in Beckley. Later that day, she had lunch with her friend Paula Hager. But during lunch, Therese said something that caught Paula off guard. She asked if she could move in with her. Paula agreed, of course. I mean, what kind of friend would she be if she said no? After lunch, no one really knows what Therese did next. Maybe she went to the gym, ran errands, or went home and started packing a few things. But sometime after that, she went completely silent. When Norman couldn't reach her, he told her family that she left him. As days turned to weeks, Therese's family started searching on their own, but every lead turned up cold. Eventually, her aunt filed an official missing persons report.
It is me. I'm the one that reported her missing. And I will tell you the reason why it took so long. I mean, people have questioned, why did it take so long for them to do this? And, you know, I don't even know how to explain this. My mother is the one that contacted me and told me that Norman had called her and said, and wanted to know if she had seen Therese, and she said no. And he said, well, she left me. Well, then, of course, I worked for Sears at the time. I worked for them for 25 years, but I was working, and I said, what do you mean she left him? Well, she left him. That's what he said. But just a few days before that, Therese had called my mother and dad and him and said that she was putting decorations out into the yard and for fall, and that she wanted them to come to Thanksgiving dinner. You know, so she wanted to tell them ahead of time, you know, so they didn't make other arrangements. Well, so anyway, my mother asked him, said, you know, well, I don't know why she would do that, because, you know, we were planning to come to dinner. Well, of course, Norman had no answers. Well, right after that, he would start, if he brought packages, if he would drop them off at the office at Sears and I was in there working, then he would always say to me, have you seen Therese or heard from her? No. Have you? And he'd be like, no, I haven't heard anything. And so anyway, Sherry and Norman never really got along good at all. But once she came up missing, he took her, Therese's majorette boots and her yearbooks, and he took them and gave them to Sherry. Well, my mom asked him, why would you do that? Therese would never want her mom to have, you know, her majorette boots or her yearbooks.
Right.
Well, that's what he did. Well, they became quite cozy and friends, I think, right after that. Mm-hmm. You know, sure, he didn't talk to me for quite a while, you know. And that's why I waited, you know, because I kept thinking, after Cerise came up missing, surely she will report this girl missing. Mm-hmm. This is her daughter, you know, which was her place.
Right.
To report her missing. Mm-hmm. And no, she had no intentions of reporting her missing. When I would see her in the mall and ask her, have you heard from Cerise? It was always no, and if she was here, she wouldn't be doing anything but causing trouble.
When officers questioned Norman, he said Cerise never picked him up from work that day. He claimed a co-worker drove him home, though he couldn't remember who that co-worker was, which is odd. Later, he changed his story, said she called him from out of state, and that she wasn't coming back. I want to back up for a moment. Cerise met Norman in 1991. While she was working at Spartan's, it was Halloween and she was dressed up as Dolly Parton when Norman came in to drop off a package. By May of 1992, the two had eloped in Virginia. Around here, that's not unusual. But I did learn that Cerise wanted a wedding at home.
That was another story. She wanted to get married. I was going to give her my wedding gown that I had worn when I got married the first time. And she was going to, she was so tickled about getting married. She wanted to wear it, and she said, but nobody will come. And I said, yes, they will. And so she tried it on. It fit her perfect. Mm-hmm. She looked so good in it. And I said, well, you could even get married in our church. And she said, they would let me. And I said, well, yeah, they would let you get married there. Well, then, I think it was a couple of days after that, she went to Mount Hope Bank down there. It was right down there where, in front of the Crossroads Mall. Mm-hmm. Her mother was working there. And there was a couple of friends in there that she asked, I'm going to get married and I wanted to invite you to the wedding. Would you come? And their statement to her was, no, we can't come because we don't want Sherry to get upset.
26 days after her disappearance, Norman filed for divorce. It was granted on Valentine's Day the following year.
Hi, I'm Shane.
I'm Hannah.
And we're Country Roads Creeps. We're a podcast that covers all manner of creepy, spooky stories, from cryptids and conspiracies to unexplained deaths and disappearances to mysterious and paranormal happenings in the world.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. Check out our Facebook page and our Instagram account at Country Roads Creeps for photo dumps and more information we'll post with every episode.
If you enjoy the show, please feel free to share us with your friends and leave us a 5-star review. And if there's any topics that you'd like to hear us cover in the future, feel free to message us on our social media accounts. Is that it?
That's it.
All right, well, be safe driving home and watch out for the not deer.
Bye.
Bye.
As the investigation continued, Norman declined 2 polygraph tests, and to this day, he's never taken one. Officer Brooks said, quote, she's not paying taxes on anything. She's not been in a hospital anywhere that we know about. Her Social Security, the IRS, we've checked all of those places. And since 1993, she doesn't exist on paper anywhere. End quote. Suspecting foul play, Brooks organized a search of the couple's home and surrounding 98-acre farm with cadaver dogs.
Well, from what I guess Tommy was told, the dogs hid in an old cellar, an old building out by, I guess it was behind the house. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, years ago when people would can, and then they would put it like in an old cellar, you know, to keep it through the winter. So they'd have it in the wintertime to eat whatever they were, they had canned. And they dug that, they tore that cellar down. They tore it down and they didn't find anything, but the dogs did hit there.
Huh.
So she was probably once there.
Right.
And they decided, well, we better move her because that's an easy spot that somebody could come in here and find her.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But when Tommy asked about, you know, searching the rest of the property, well, he was told, well, that's 98 acres. Well, what's 98 acres to a human skeleton that you might mm-hmm. find to get somebody some closure? Mm-hmm. What is 98 acres?
1 month after her disappearance, on November 1st, Cherise's 1993 Dodge Daytona suddenly reappeared in the UPS parking lot.
And I'm to tell you, I mean, I know Cherise well enough to know that she had that brand new Daytona.
Uh-huh.
And she was so proud of it.
Right.
And she took it down and showed my mom and them. There is no way if she had left with that car that she would have brought it back to them.
Exactly.
Yeah, she would not have returned that car.
And then
that car has never left here.
Right.
How does a car just show back up and no one saw who dropped it off? That's the question everyone asks. Norman later sold the car to a man in Charleston. But investigators tracked it down and searched it inside and out. They found nothing. During the time Cherise went missing, the church the couple attended, Breckenridge Missionary Baptist Church in Bolt, was under construction building a new addition. That's when the rumors started. Some believe Cherise had been hidden in the church's septic tank. A year later, her family sent a letter to the church asking to search the property. Quote, "Dear members of the Breckenridge Missionary Baptist Church, the Gwynn family and friends are looking for Angela Cherise Gwynn Stevens. At the time of her disappearance, she was living in this area and had gone to this church. She has been missing for almost 12 years. We need your help in getting closure on this matter. The reason for this letter is the Gwynn family and friends would like to provide a free service to your church. We have reason to believe there are some clues of her whereabouts in the septic tank located in your parking lot. We would like to have this tank closed out so we can look for these clues. We would use licensed and trained professionals, along with the proper authorities, to do this. Please help us get closure in this matter. We mean no harm to your church. If we find nothing, then no harm done, and we appreciate your help. Just another piece to the puzzle that would be taken care of. If this was your daughter, sister, or friend, wouldn't you like to know? We are asking the good people of your church to please help." End quote. Despite that heartfelt plea, the church board held a closed-door meeting, including Pastor Dewey Lowe and Tom Harmon, Norman's uncle, and voted against allowing the search.
This is just me talking. But I'm pretty sure Tom Harmon played a big part as why they could not search the church, because it was two of my nieces mm-hmm. that went down there that Sunday and handed out the papers to every member or every person that went in mm-hmm. that Sunday morning and asked about, they wanted them to read them, and then they wanted to know if they would allow them mm-hmm. to dig in those septics, in the septic system. And the church voted yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after the church voted yes, Tom Harmon didn't like that. So him and Dewey Lowe went in the back of the church. And when they come out, the preacher said, absolutely not. So why, what was the big deal that he couldn't do it? Because he told them. Even in, I think it's in the letter, that when he dug, he would put everything back.
Hey, y'all. I'm Elisa.
And I'm Samantha.
And welcome to Watch for Deer Podcast. We're a couple of best friends from Southern West Virginia, and around here, Watch for Deer is our way of saying we love you and be safe.
This is a conversational podcast that covers many topics from A to Z, including, but not limited to, true crime and the paranormal. Our goal is to bring you an episode a week, so come listen as we tell stories that will make you laugh and maybe even blow your mind. Y'all be safe,
and watch for deer.
Teresa's father, Thomas Gwynn, never stopped searching. Before his passing in 2008, he said, quote, "When I enter heaven, I'll know exactly what happened to her," end quote. In 2010, officers obtained a search warrant for an old coal mining store on Glenview Road in Crab Orchard. Cadaver dogs picked up a scent, and a bone was found. It was sent to the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. But sadly, it turned out to be from an animal. The building was demolished 2 days later. In May of 2014, the Raleigh County Commissioners addressed a long list of community issues. But one item stood out. A petition to legally declare Angela Sharice Gwynn Stevens presumed deceased. Commissioner Linda Epling made the motion, secondary by Commissioner Reed. It passed. Which, that always stuck out with me. That it wasn't a court, but the county commissioners who took that step. So, I asked why.
Now, I don't know how that came about, except for the fact that Tommy was the one that had that done, not her mommy or her daddy. Of course, her dad passed away in 2008, but that was Tommy that had her pronounced legally dead, because he couldn't do nothing until they said they couldn't do nothing. Mm-hmm. Until, you know, she was pronounced dead. They were sure she was dead, that she wasn't, you know, coming back.
Right.
And the part where Norman said that she called and told him, you know, that she didn't want to be married anymore and she wasn't coming back.
Right.
I don't believe that any more than my dog does.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Finally, in 2017, after 25 years, a search of the church did happen.
So they ended up cleaning digging for two of the septic systems at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one open. There was one of those septic systems open at the time she came up missing.
Yeah.
At that church.
Which?
And but it was years, 2017, before they ever let him dig in it. And I don't know if you know the story behind that, but he made up around probably approximately 5,000 letters that went out to every person in Raleigh County. Right. Yeah, he sent them out, and everybody in Raleigh County, everybody at the courthouse, every business, everything, got a letter with her picture on it.
Mm-hmm.
And after that went out, well, then I guess her and Dewey Lowe and Don Harmon got together and said, well, you know what, we better let them dig.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what their conversation was, but I do know this, that myself, Tommy, and his wife, we went to a meeting. Mm-hmm. And Dewey Lowe, the pastor of the church, sat there and said to us that he had never seen the letter. Well, Tommy's wife immediately grabbed her letter out of her pocketbook that she had, the copy of it, and she shoved it right at him. And she said, oh, yes, you did. Yes, you did. You right. did see it. You did read it.
Mm-hmm.
You did say we could not dig.
Mm-hmm.
So, why lie about it?
In an article by Jessica Ferris for the Register Herald, Tommy Gwynn said, quote, "We would like to thank the Breckenridge Missionary Baptist Church for letting this go forward. Just another potential place eliminated. This was not our first search, and it will not be our last. This is the end of one chapter and the beginning of another," end quote. Under the agreement, the church allowed the family to search the old septic tank beneath the parking lot. Tommy later said, quote, "I don't believe she ran off. I believe someone killed her," end quote. As of today, the case of Angela Sharice Gwynn Stevens remains cold. 32 years is a long time to stay silent. If the person responsible is listening, wouldn't you want someone to speak up? If it were your daughter, your sister, your family?
Where is Sharice? Hello, my name is Tommy Gwynn. I'm the brother of Angela Cerise Gwynn Stevens. Cerise went missing October 1st of 1993. 2014, the Raleigh County Commission declared my sister deceased. Now, as of October 1st in 2025, in the next 90 days, I am offering a $50,000 reward for my sister's skeletal remains. It's none of my business how anybody goes about it. That's between you and law enforcement. I do have a special message for my sister's ex-husband, Norman Stevens. There are some people that would like to talk to you, Norman. A lot of us believe you can help us find Cerise. We'd appreciate it if you'd step out and talk to us. I would like everyone to see this. Please share it everywhere. Help bring my sister home. Thank you.
If you have any information on the whereabouts of the remains of Angela Cerise Gwynn Stevens, please contact the Raleigh County Sheriff's Office at 304-255-9300 or Crime Stoppers of West Virginia at 304-255-7867. We'll be back next week with a brand new case. If you find yourself enjoying Mountain State Mysteries, take a second to follow, download, and rate the show on your favorite podcast platform. It helps others find good West Virginia true crime podcasts. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube, all at Mountain State Mysteries. Do you have a case you want us to cover? Send us an email at mountainstatemysteries304@gmail.com. For the show notes, check out our website, mountainstatemysteriespodcast.com.